podcasting. That's it. That's the intro. We're talking about podcasting this week. The thing you're listening to right now, the thing I'm actively doing right now, that's the entire intro. That's all I really care to say in this opening written portion. I could try to get more deep about it, but I don't really want to. We're talking about podcasts this week and the process of creating them, and that's it. My guests this week are two hilarious, smart, and insightful women who did what millions of people around the world have done, myself included. They started a podcast, obviously. Their show is called Imperfect Strangers. It's a show about two ladies who met on the internet, slowly getting to know each other by discussing different topics on an episode-to-episode basis, and it's fantastic. You should really check it out. I'm even going to be a guest on it in a couple weeks, so that's cool. But today, they're my guests. My guests on my podcast, which is this. So let's get to it. From a Blanketfoot recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today I'm talking to my guests Melissa Beck and Amanda Strong, the hosts of the Imperfect Strangers podcast, about podcasting.
You know?
You guys have all the magic tricks, though. Amanda, I can't be trusted with anything. I can't start an Instagram Live. I can't, what button do I push here? Amanda's in charge of that, but it really is amazing the magic that y'all come up with. It's not just, you know, boom, splash, splat out, and a podcast happens. You know that quote. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I don't think people know that.
Yeah, it's more than just hit record, and then when it's done, you hit stop, and then you upload it. Like, it's a lot more than that. Before we get fully into this, since there's two of you, let me just hear who each person is, because when it's just one guest, it's, like, obvious who I'm talking to, but when there's two people, then it's like, oh, which one is which one? And if they've listened to your podcast, of course they'll know who you are, but if this is their first time meeting you, then... Yeah.
Okay, well, who do you want to go first?
Let's go alphabetical order, Amanda, so you go first.
Okay, so I'm Amanda. I am one half of the Imperfect Strangers podcast, the technical half, the white half.
She's the white half, that's true.
And Melissa?
Oh, yeah, then there's me, Melissa. Not technical at all. I am the in-house female person of color. So, you know, all of our, what do you call that? Editorial stuff, all of the, you know, content editing to it to make sure we don't get canceled kind of comes through my brain. We're doing good so far.
I need that person on my team. I need that person that's like, you can't say that, Austin, or you can't.
It's
you
really
know what, Austin?
It's so helpful.
You know what, Austin? I was going to tell you, though, Amanda and I, you know, we do our research. I don't know if you do Enneagrams and stuff. Amanda has gotten me into this whole thing about Enneagrams where you take this math test to figure out, like, you know, what kind of person you are and how you navigate the world. And so Amanda is a five, a person who investigates. And what are your other qualities?
I do not like feelings. I have very niche interests, so I'm that person, like, you could be off talking about the most random topic in the world, and I'm secretly listening in, waiting for you to say something wrong so that I can jump in and say, well, actually, and you're like, where the fuck did this lady just come from? Like, and why is she listening to our conversation? And why does she know so much about, okay, you know, so whatever?
If hashtag well actually was a person, Amanda says it's her.
You're
so
my
then
favorite,
I'm a one.
You're my favorite kind of person in a comment section. Then I'm like, oh, great. Like, thank you.
We just lurk. We just wait. Uh-huh. We wait and wait. And then the moment strikes and we're like, yes, this is my moment to shine.
Yeah.
So I'm a one. And ones are super into justice ones are kind of not into you thinking that they're wrong. Let's not do that. And so because of our combined Enneagram status, it has created a nice little working relationship. Like, because now I understand where she's coming from. She understands where I'm coming from. So none of the stuff is like, it can be personal. We're obviously humans in the world and we're women. But like when we're working together, making podcast stuff and deciding what can go on and what can't go on, it's been good to have that background on like how she sees the world and how I do.
Mm-hmm. That's
fantastic. I'll be that person for you, Austin, if you want.
Do you have the time to come in and be that person on my podcast?
I have 3 kids, no. But but I was going to say, you've done well. Amanda and I were listening to your podcast, and I was telling her that I was like, it's compliment time, so I hope you're ready. I hope your Enneagram can handle that.
I'm always ready for compliments. I'm always ready.
I was like, judging from your voice and the information that you put out and just how you, tell your story and how you expose your opinions to the world, there's always an element of comedy, which always helps. And you're very funny to me. I'd be laughing my ass off.
Oh, hilarious.
And, and you're also super self-aware of not just what you're saying, but what you're saying and how it applies on the specific platform you're using. So like what you say on TikTok and what you say in a podcast, 2 different animals, 2 different packages, and you completely get it. So to see and take in content of a self-aware white man, if you're a he, him, listen, you're on it. I like it.
Well, awesome. Yeah. Thanks. That's really nice. I always feel like it's just like a hop, skip, and a jump away from Cancel Town. Like, I'm like, one of these days, I'm gonna like get too confident and be like, nah, people like me. Like, they trust me. I can dip my toe in this, and it's gonna be like, and we knew it. Like, I knew that mustache was sus. And
no, and you tackle some stuff that even Amanda and I mean, I'm listening to your stuff. You tackle stuff that even I'm like, dang, that was brave. And he did that. You were just, the floor is lava sometimes, and you be making it.
yeah. No, it's definitely a tricky space. I mean, we talk about this constantly. We spend so much time in editing and back and forth, and can we say this? And like even this week, we were talking about some commentary we were making towards the end of the podcast, and it's like, you know, you want to share your perspective and you want to talk about things through your lens, but you also understand that you might be like offending somebody or hurting their feelings. But we always hope that we're self-aware enough to know that, like, guys, we're just poking fun, and we're not like trying to shit all over, you know, whatever it is that you choose to do or what you like. But just always trying to make sure that you're walking that fine line between, everybody knows that we're joking, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, since this is what we're talking about, and like different modes of content, you talked about like the difference between, say, a TikTok video and a podcast. I've always felt like, and this is, I don't know if this is the same for you, but I've always felt like what's drawn me to podcasts is that it's a space where it feels like people are working through ideas in real time, and I'm like in on the conversation. So if a person misspeaks on a podcast, I am much more lenient with that than if it seems like they're delivering a prepared speech of like, this is my worked out opinion on this issue. If it's 2 people who are going, hey, let's talk about this thing, and acknowledge from the outset that like, we don't really know what it is that we're like hoping to get out of the conversation, but like maybe we'll find something in here, I'm really willing to like let those people like fuck up a little bit. like even like maybe put their foot in their mouth. Like as long as it's clear that those people are like self-aware enough to acknowledge that, ooh, maybe that wasn't the right idea. Or like you might even hear live in a conversation on a podcast, someone say something and then the other person will like go, ah, I don't think so. And like disagree with them and like come back at them and they'll go, that's a good point, you know? And you'll hear them in real time, like shift their stance. And I think that that's great. I think that that's like, we of course shouldn't have the standard for people that like whenever you speak publicly you better come correct and never be wrong, and this is the space to me where like people really can, as a means of entertainment, work through ideas. Now in a TikTok, if I've got 30 to 60 seconds to say something and if I'm gonna like try to dunk on a racist person like in a video, I better be right. You know, like I better be like it needs to be really clear that the person that I'm responding to is like clearly in the wrong, and my response needs to be clear and concise and correct. I can't, like, I responded to this guy and I used the word dumb in my video and people were like, well, dumb is an ableist slur. And I was like, okay, like it can get that nitpicky. Yeah. I have my own opinions about contextual language and about how like dumb technically does have two dictionary definitions and people frequently use it in different contexts, but I also understand linking the connotative definition of the word to meaning, you know, below average intelligence, and that gets caught up in the definition of people with that disability, and how, you know, it's the same thing with like people using like the word gay to mean like lame or something, like, you know, like when kids would say that, it's that same problem. But it's like, yeah, like I was like, boy, I didn't think that I had made any errors in that video, in that 60 second video, and people were like calling me out on it in the comments, you know. And so
how long does it take you, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we are very old in comparison to you.
I was like thinking we're the same age.
We are not. We don't know how
Austin,
to TikTok. How do you TikTok?
1988, you were a baby.
Yeah. Oh. You were a fetus and we were like in school.
All right, cool.
Like
yeah.
We could technically, we could have aborted you. Like...
I like that. That's good. I don't know. It depends on the video. I put something out this morning that like I love when I come up with a concept like this, that it's really easy for me to do. Like lately I've been doing these, like it's one shot and it's a slow zoom on my face and I don't say anything, and then most of the content is like words that are either using the speech to text feature where like that robot voice is like, I wa ba 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 ba, I do da ba 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 ba. Like that thing, that's really easy for me to produce because I shoot it for 30 seconds and then I write the text and then it's done. And I like add the music, you know? So it's like, I don't know, like 15 minutes. Really, really simple. But if I'm making a music video, it could be anywhere between like 4 to 10 hours, you know, of like, because I gotta like write the music, and that takes, you know, 2-3 hours. Gotta shoot it, which takes like 30 minutes to an hour, and then I've got to edit, which takes like 1 hour to 2 hours depending on how fancy I want to get. And I usually also send my music off to my audio engineer who mixes and masters my podcast, and he like gives final touches on the music so that everything's like, you know, like it sounds radio ready, and just gives it like that extra little bump of like production quality. But like, yeah, so there's a big gamut between how it's, you know, like how much time I'm going to take. You know, people always like want the music videos. Like they're like, do more music videos. And I'm like, oh, well, those take a lot more time.
Yeah, you're like, here's my Cash App. Let's do more music video.
That's very involved. And so basically what you're saying is Melissa and I will never be able to TikTok at that level, because that is, I didn't realize, wow.
No, but there are so many, sorry, keep going.
Did you see, as you were telling us, like, Amanda's eyebrows went through the roof. Mine did too. And then did you notice, I don't know if you could see it on your end, it's like magical on our end, but like the confused lady meme, the little white chalk lines of sine and cosine and the geometry across our faces. We were like, what are you talking about 4 hours? What are you talking about? Because me and Amanda, you know, we think we're hot shit with our interactive story on Instagram. Okay. Like, we don't have the technology, okay?
I'm like, how did you make that video happen in our Instagram story? I don't know how to do that.
Which one?
What, she'll sometimes like put videos into our Instagram story, and I'm like, how did you make that happen?
Oh, Amanda, I can teach you that. That screen record and editing. I had my 11-year-old daughter had to teach me that.
I wish more people knew about that, like screen record and stuff, because people will like, I'll like upload a video, like one of the music videos, and it'll be a response to like some, you know, racist person. And someone in the comment, lots of people in the comments will be like, could you post this without the racist person at the beginning? And I'm like, okay, yeah, because they want just the song. And I'm like, you can just screen record and just edit out the first 5 seconds. Like you can do that. But like, sure. Any excuse for me to repost something, I will take, because reposting is another great way for content creators to just like have something to post. So if someone's like, will you repost that without the first 5 seconds? I'm like, sure. Like, why not?
So how did you?
So Austin, look at it. She and I are now like, yeah. What's your screen time like?
Yeah.
Like daily?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much. It's this is my full-time job. This is what I do. So like I work with brands to like do like branded deals now, and like it wasn't always my full-time job. When I was working an actual job, when I had a day job, like when I was working at a restaurant, making videos and making a weekly podcast and making music and like staying creative was a lot harder, cuz you get done with a long shift at the restaurant and like that's it. Like there's nothing else I can do. But it's only been recently, like the last couple months, that this has become sustainable for me. So it's, my screen time is way up. I still have to be really, really careful about that. And I have to like set aside specific time every single day to make sure that I'm meditating, to make sure that I'm taking walks, and to make sure that I'm like investing in my relationships and like spending time with my partner. And, you know, but like it's a lot. I spent a lot of time on the apps, and
So your podcast,
congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the goal for most people that start a podcast or are trying to, like, with your music and things like that? But your podcast is pretty young. I was looking today, and I went all the way back to the beginning. You're what, just a little bit over a year old?
Yeah.
With that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What got you started wanting to do a podcast?
Geez, I feel like I'm on your show now.
Well, but we're old. We're the boss, don't you know?
Yeah, no, I love it though. Like, let's talk about podcasts, and then I want to ask the same question to you, because this is a good question. I had always wanted to do a podcast. I've always liked this medium, and I've always felt like it's very accessible, and that's one of my things that I like about it the most, is that, and I talk about that in the intro episode, like if you listen to like my Hello trailer episode for People Pleaser, like I talk about how like I like the fact that podcasts are so easily accessible for the audience and for the creator, that anyone can have their own show. It's like back in the days when people would have public access TV shows, except the public access TV show is everywhere, and it's across the world. And if you can afford a microphone, which not everyone can, but you know, there's that old quote of like, I can't remember the person's name who said it, but they said that cinema will only be an art form when the materials needed to use it, or when the materials needed to make it, are as inexpensive as pen and paper. And like a microphone and a computer aren't as inexpensive as pen and paper, but they're so much more ubiquitous now than they ever used to be in the history of the species. So like I've always really liked the fact that people can have their own little radio show from their home. I had a million ideas for different podcasts over the years, and I never started one because I never could see the sustainability of the concepts that I would have. I would have these like kind of finite concepts of like a podcast just about this or just about that, you know. And I don't know. I think last year for whatever reason, I just was like, we're just going to start it. We're just going to go. And I guess, I mean, 2019, not 2020. But, and I thought, I'll just do a weekly show where I talk about something else every week. And that way, I never run out of new things to talk about. Because all I'm really trying to do is just get interesting people together to have, hopefully, a listenable conversation. And that seems like pretty achievable weekly content. And if I'm like in a box where I have to, my show has to be about this thing every week, that's a little bit tougher to come up with an hour of new material every week. But if it's just, oh, this person happens to know about quantum physics, then come on, let's talk about quantum physics this week and like blow my mind, you know? What was it for the two of you that made you want to start podcasting?
Well, my dad kept telling me that I needed to start a podcast, and like all good parents do, he kept like bugging me about it because he thought that the things that I was writing on my personal Instagram page were interesting. And I was like, right, but you're my dad and you're supposed to think that I'm interesting and like what I'm doing. So that doesn't necessarily mean that other people are going to want to listen to me. So I started a podcast specifically about motherhood. And so I was interviewing women within my immediate circle, and then it kind of expanded out to friends of friends. And I had watched Melissa on her season of The Real World when I was in college, or I guess it was I was a senior in high school at the time.
I didn't even know about that. That's amazing, Melissa. I didn't even know.
Even better.
We love that. And at the time that her season had come out, she started a blog. And even though we weren't like necessarily in the same stages of life, eventually we kind of caught up. We got married around the same time. We started families around the same time. And I was in a position where none of my friends or family were getting married and having kids. And so it felt very lonely. And her blog for me was something where I could like check in and be like, oh my gosh, here's this woman who is kind of like me. She's kind of going through the same stuff. We find the same things funny or interesting. And so it was kind of a boon at a time when I felt like very alone. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to invite her on my podcast. She doesn't know me, but I'm going to send her a DM and maybe I'll get lucky and she'll do it. I got lucky and she did it. So that first conversation, we ended up having to record it two other times for the first podcast. And we ended up having a good time and hitting it off. So it was like, okay, maybe this is a thing. Like maybe we can start our own show. And originally it was going to be specifically about motherhood. And as we got into it, we realized, but wait a minute, we're not like just moms. We're women who just happen to have children. And maybe this is a podcast about two people getting to know each other. So we recorded for, 5 months, 6 months before we kind of started to find our voice. And then all of a sudden, Melissa was like, okay, I think we can do this now. And so.
Yeah, she painted it the kind way. Thank you. That was really gracious. Because what had happened was, she invited me on her podcast, which I'll plug. Her original first podcast was called Your Mom Has a Podcast. And, you know, she was talking to other moms about mom things. And so she invited me on and we talked about mom things. And for some reason, I think when she had invited me on, it was like December 2019.
It was November, right before 2019. Thanksgiving. November.
Right. So November, December 2019. You know, she puts the episode out. The episode is cute. It's fun. It's nice. But keep in mind, at this time, I, having been, you know, Melissa from The Real World, had been invited on and asked to be on podcasts for a decade and literally never said yes because I'm over here hunkered down. I was on The Real World. Everybody knows me from The Real World. I'm going to spend this next decade undoing Real World. So I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom, married to, you know, my husband, and I just be up in here. And if you follow me on my social media, it's private. And I also created an echo chamber for myself, which you've talked about, Austin, on your podcast. Yeah. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you want to follow me on Instagram, you got to like what I like. You got to like what the fuck I say. Oop.
That's fine. You can say fuck.
Okay. And that was it. So, like, I was not in a space where I was ready to, like, come out and, like, dig around in Melissa Beck's life. But then Amanda DM'd me, and I don't even know. I was just like, okay, sure. And I was like, what? Even after I said yes, I was like, girl, what do you do? You can't just say yes to this random lady. But I did. And then we had so much fun doing the conversation that then it was like, you know what? Maybe we should do this. And Amanda is you're a podcast person. Amanda is a podcast person. Like, she is dialed into podcast world and knows what podcast network this is on and knows who this person's podcast is about and, like, understands the hierarchies and, oh, you can't get anywhere unless you're true crime. And there's podcasts for moms. There are podcasts for people that really like coffee. Like, she knew all this. I didn't know none of that. I was like, okay, girl. But then I was also like, yo, we can have a podcast. I don't know how.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we just kept talking, but at the same time, I was still in my head about, do I really want to have people having weekly access to me like they did before? So, like, there's a whole other PTSD layer of reality TV stigma that I'm probably only creating for myself, that I've probably made up in my whole own mind. So feeling comfortable talking to Amanda, somehow it felt natural. And then one day, right around her birthday, I was like, you know what? Let's put the episode out. She was like, what? So we scrambled. And, you know, she and I have been learning at the same time as we're doing the podcast. So every week, you know, we learn about microphones. Every week we learn about, you know, apps and tips and tricks on how to make our sound better and stuff like that. So it's been both a pandemic kind of hobby, but at the same time, us really deep diving into this whole real medium. So
where do each of you live? I mean, I don't know if you say that on your podcast or like, my question is, are you in the same area or like, have you ever like been in the same place?
We've never met.
Wow. Wow. That's wild. Do you think you will at some point?
We've posed that questions to the listeners, and some listeners are like, you can't ever meet. The premise of the show is you guys are strangers getting to know each other. No, you cannot meet. And some of them are like, you have to meet. We have to film the meeting.
Like, it feels inevitable, right? Like, it can't be like never. Like, it has to, you can't just go on for the rest of your lives being internet friends, or I guess you can in today's world.
Well,
in today's
world,
you can kind of.
In today's, you can. And especially, you know, given the pandemic, it's funny because last May, her husband was getting ready to, like, put on an event. And this was before we knew we were releasing the show. But my husband and I had been talking about, oh, well, maybe this would be kind of a fun thing to do for my birthday. Her husband's in a band. So it was like, oh, this is cool. Like, we could go see the show. Maybe we could meet up. And then the pandemic hit. So then it was just like, okay, well, maybe we'll never meet. And we were joking recently saying that, like, if we ever had, like, a live show or a meet and greet, we would just have a partition up, like, the dating show.
Yeah.
And we would just have to stay separate the entire time, but we would have the partition there.
Oh, man. Yeah, speaking of, really quick, I wanted to ask this. Last night I was listening to your episode about names and about, like, baby names and, like, talking about, like, how names are important. And there's a couple things I want to ask. Like, first of all, Melissa, just to clear this up, and, like, I feel like I know the answer to this question, but, like, you just said that your husband is a musician whose friends call him Beck. Your husband's not Beck, is he?
Oh, Beck the Scientologist?
No, yeah, like Beck.
Short,
like,
skirt and long jacket.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like. No. No. My husband is Justin Beck from Glassjaw.
All right, cool. All right, I mean, like, that's also really cool, but I was like, is your husband Beck? I was like,
Melissa cuts the red tape with a machete.
Amanda, he's so young. He's so young.
He's so young. I know. Oh, it's so cute. I love you.
Oh, my God. Group hug, Austin. You're so little.
Also, like, how I, like, almost, like, you were, like, talking about how you didn't know if you wanted to do a podcast because you didn't know if you wanted to expose yourself, like, to the public the way that you had on The Real World. And then I was like, where do you live? Like, what's your address? Say it right now on the podcast. Like,
my social security is 497.
phone number, address, social security, credit card number, real quick, just from each of you.
You need the security code 298.
Yeah, but also on names. So this is a thing that I think when we're talking about podcasts, when we're talking about like books, writing a screenplay, plays, albums, names, it's, or starting a band, naming your thing, is this kind of process. You both talked about how like you should take care in the naming of your child, because this is what they're going to be, this is going to be a moniker that comes to define them for years to come. And that's also like, I honestly, when you said like what made you want to start a podcast, like one of the things that stalled me for the longest time was every concept I would have, I couldn't think of a good name for it. And then all the names that I would think of for it, I would be like, I'm not in love with that, you know? And so honestly, like, I really believe that finding the name of my show helped me have confidence to be like, okay, I can work with that. And for me, it was like People Pleaser was going to be the name of my latest album. And I decided it was a better name for a podcast. And I was like, actually, yeah, that's a much better, like, it's a much more like all-inclusive term of like who I am and like my character defects and what I'm trying to work through with people while I talk to them. And how did you come by? Because it seems very intuitive, the name of your podcast, for like the concept and everything like that. But was it easy, or did you have to work through names?
We worked through names.
Well, our first... Yes. Oh, we work through names. And also, you know, Amanda and I, again, are old and we do things, you know, kind of right. So every name that we work through, she and I were sitting there, you know, in the trademark website and Googling like all the way onto the 17th page to make sure that this didn't exist, Kevin Hart. So like we were, mm-hmm. we were, you know, very careful about the naming process. But like Amanda said, we had first thought that our podcast was going to be a conversation between two moms who, you know, are coming from two ideologically different places, but have sort of the same idea on how to raise good and whole children. So basically we were like, how do we not raise assholes? That was like the underlying premise. And we thought we were going to have a podcast called Best Mom Ever. And, you know, sarcasm font, yeah, it's not all, some people wouldn't have seen that as, some people would have taken that literally. So we couldn't do that in a bite-sizable way, explain Best Mom Ever, without having to be like, it's clearly sarcastic. We're clearly not perfect people. And definitely one or two of our children will be drug addicts if you listen to the episodes. So like, so.
It's just a law of averages.
Yeah. So, it's not about, I mean, it's true, quality of parenting. It's just, yeah.
Every family has one. Like, this isn't about me. After we decided the podcast wasn't going to be about raising children, you know, after we apparently, you know, put our feet in the backs of our children and said, fuck them kids, we should do something else. we started going back and forth on... what it is to make a new friend in the age of the internet. Mm-hmm. So like Amanda kind of knew me because of my, you know, weird reality beginnings, but I technically really didn't know anything about her. So we were strangers, but not strangers. And then at the same time, because I was wrestling with God, you know, I don't want to be canceled every week for my very strong opinions, this and that. And you know, we are also having sometimes hard conversations. We talk about race, we talk about religion, we talk about parenting, we talk about a lot of things that could be polarizing. It's sort of kind of just boiled down to Imperfect Strangers, because also there's a lyric in one of my husband's songs that says that, and it was on a t-shirt and I saw it and I was like, oh, Amanda, this is it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of how it happened.
And then we leaned into Perfect Strangers, that ubiquitous 90s TGIF mm-hmm. sitcom, and that kind of fit too, because if you look at the two personalities in that show, I was very much Larry and she was very much Bulky, and that that comedy of errors, right, of this like sometimes it's going to be hilarious because this miscommunication is happening because you have these two people who come from very different backgrounds and had a very different upbringing, but are now kind of in this same place. So if you look back into our first season of like graphics, it's all screenshots from the show that we like were able to work into every single episode. There was something going on in the show that related to, you know, what we were talking about. So, yeah.
So now, Austin Archer, 1988. Do you even know what Perfect Strangers, the TV show, was?
I was literally about to ask that question.
I've heard of Perfect Strangers. I never watched it, but I know about Perfect Strangers. I know, like, what Sanford and Son is, and I know, like, you know, I never watched it, but I know these shows existed. But I think I like that twist, and also song lyrics for the win. Like that's I already had a song on my album called People Pleaser because the album was going to be called People Pleaser, and I was like, that's a better podcast name. And then luckily I had a song on the album called Beautiful Things, and I was like, that's a great album name. So just swapped them. But yeah, the whole process that you talked about of like looking to see if someone else has used it too, that's a whole thing. It's crazy that anyone can find an original title these days, but somehow there's always just more stuff to be made. Like it really is crazy with how many podcasts exist and with how many shows exist and that like you can find a title that somehow hasn't been used 30 times already. You know?
Yeah, it's tricky. It's tricky. And there are so many podcasts. Everybody and their mom has a podcast. So mm-hmm. really trying
Your mom
to,
has a podcast.
That was my first one.
Yeah.
But trying to find something that kind of like stands above the noise is easy to recognize, is easy to search. If you're listening to this and you own the URL imperfectstrangers.com, we're very upset with you. But yeah, it's important, and I think that, you know, I love yours because I think that when you look at a title of something, whether it's an album or a book or a podcast in this case, like you want people to be able to look at it and recognize and have an idea about what they're going to get into. It shouldn't be like mystery meat. Like I should be able to scroll through my Apple Podcast app and be like, oh yeah, okay, cool. I know what this is about, or I have an idea of what the vibe is here, and that sounds like something I'd be into.
Although Mystery Meat would be a podcast I would listen to. It was like Mystery Meat with Max Baker. I'd be like, I'm there. Like, what are we talking about today, Max? Like, we'll see.
Amanda, you just came up with something again. Mystery Meat.
TM.
Yeah, there was a podcast that I found that was called like The Curious Habits of the People Pleaser or something like that. That I was like, that's different enough that I'm going to go ahead and go forward with it. Like, and it also like had like 20 recorded episodes from like 5 years ago, and they hadn't they hadn't published something in like several years. I was like, I'm good. I was like, we're not going to like compete with each other. And yeah, but yeah, it's naming the thing is boy.
We even have sometimes trouble week to week naming episodes. Like naming is very important.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I have a guest on, I have to let them know like we need to be able to boil this down to preferably one word. Because if you've seen all the titles of my episodes, it's always like we're like it's one thing. It's like we're or like two words, you know, like we're talking about free will or we're talking about comedy or we're talking about podcasts or, because that just helps me with just the naming of the episode. And when someone's like, I don't know, I want to talk about this, 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 this and this. I'm like, well, we need to pick one because.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you want to talk about this, 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 and this, then we're talking about Mystery Meat. Saying that's not the episode we on.
I was going to save it. Mystery Meat is your next all over the place episode.
Uh-huh.
But and I want to like, credit.
I'll usually let them know, like, we can get to all that stuff, but it needs to be under the umbrella of our big topic. So we can talk about that this political thing that happened or this or that, but like it needs to fit under the scope. My brother Adam sometimes gets the special all topics episodes just because he's my brother. And like, so when he comes on, I'll be like, we're going to spin the wheel and we're going to like go through like 20 topics while he's on the show. But
How did you hone your producer mind? Because you have a super specific producer brain, and producer brain and content creation brain are sometimes not, you know, the same. So like, you seem like you're your whole own team.
Yeah, man. I don't know. That's a good question. I really think that like just a life in show business has given me a brain vocabulary for a lot of the different roles and jobs that exist when producing something like this. Like, when I was in college doing a theater degree, like our department that I was a part of was really big on having everyone do as many jobs as possible. So like if possible, you should be the lighting designer for a show and be the stage manager for a show and direct a show, and or at least like learn what it means to be a stage manager and learn what it means, you know, so that you get a feel for how all the different pieces come together in a collaborative art form to like make a show happen. And I think that mixed with just working in collaborative art for my whole life has given me a little bit of an insight into thinking through the various things you need to be thinking about when making something like this. You know, you need to be thinking about marketability and like what makes sense conceptually with what you're trying to do, and your posting schedule, when it's best for you to your show to go up and stuff like that. I don't know, you know. I really don't know. I don't know. I think it's just practice is the answer. Years of practice.
Posting schedule.
Do you post the same day every week? Do you post episodes the same day every week? Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Every Friday at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way that we run the show, and I don't even know how we came up with this. I think it just kind of started because we had been recording for 6 months without any, you know, it was like we would meet. We were so consistent. We would meet every single week. We were getting the work done. And then COVID hit. And the lockdown happened, and we kind of, there were, I think, maybe like 4 to 6 weeks where we didn't record anything because we were both kind of dealing with like, now our kids are home full time, now we're homeschooling. It was a lot for everybody to make this adjustment. And then I was trying to be sensitive, as Melissa mentioned, to her kind of dipping her toe back into this public forum and being accessible to people in ways that she hadn't been. And so when she said, okay, let's go, it was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. So there wasn't a lot of time. And we just said, okay, well, I was thinking a lot of the podcasts I listen to either come out on Monday or Thursday. So maybe we'll just do Friday and it'll be kind of like an end of the week treat. And then she came up with this idea to have an interactive story that went along with every episode. And so it just kind of became this thing where we've trained our listeners to understand that at midnight Eastern Standard Time on Friday, the episode comes out. And with that, she does these amazing stories. They're hilarious, but they all give like a visual element to whatever it is that we talk about. And so people will stay, like people on the East Coast will stay up and wait for midnight and spoil themselves and watch the story. Or our, you know, West Coast gets it earlier. And so it's kind of this nice little, there feels like there's something special about it.
Yeah, I'm always so surprised at the people who listen right when it drops. I'm always like shocked that like when I publish on Wednesday nights, and I do that so that people waking up Thursday morning can like have it, like people on the East Coast can like have it for their commute to work or whatever.
Yeah.
But like I'm always shocked that like I post and there's like, you know, 40 or 50 downloads before I go to bed, and I'm like, people, that many people like at night? But I guess people have their different ways of consuming podcasts. Some people, I guess, like to listen to it before they go to bed. And like my thing is like I have to listen to podcasts on a walk or in the car. Like I can't really just listen to it around the house. Like I have to be like on the move for some reason to consume a podcast. But I don't know. Yeah.
So wait, if your schedule, look, because now we're getting into like the technical stuff. Uh-huh. If you post on Wednesdays, when do you actually create it so that you can go through the editing process? You'd be working through the weekend.
Yeah, so I like to have a I like to have a backlog of episodes so that if I ever like am just swamped with work and I can't record an episode for a few weeks, I know I'm good. Like right now I've got like 5 or 6 in the can. So like this episode probably won't come out for like a bit. Like cuz like every once in a while I'll just go through a period where I'll record like 3 or 4 episodes in 1 week. And then it's like now I've just got those like locked and loaded ready to go. But as far as the process, what I do is after I've recorded it, I just leave it and I don't touch it until the Sunday before it comes out. So Sunday is my day to go in and sort of like trim up the edges and like go through and like fix whatever I got to fix on the editing end. And also now, this is a new thing that I've been doing on my show that's been really fun. I have a written intro and outro that I do for every episode before the conversation, and I've been recording those live on TikTok, which is on Sunday. So my TikTok followers can come and watch the, like, they'll be like, oh, this is what the podcast is about this week. Doesn't drop till Wednesday, but you get like a sneak preview of like what this week's episode is going to be by watching the live recording on Sunday. Also, like, the live recording's kind of fun because like I mess up and stuff. Like, I'll be reading the intro and I'll like have to stop and like reread it, and so they get to like be in the studio while I'm like making the show, and then they also get to ask questions. So during the outro they ask live questions, and it's kind of a really good way to get audience engagement and make them a part of the show. And then it's like you listen to the show and you're like, that's me, that's my question, like I'm on the show, you know. And so
look, Austin,
I know. Yeah. I'm like, okay, you can keep this. Yeah. That's a fantastic. I was listening to, I'm trying to think, maybe it was your most recent, and I heard you doing it live on TikTok, and I thought, oh, that's so smart. That's such a great way to kind of give everybody a peek behind the windscreen.
Well, it's like, and it's like, it's really low stress too, because you can edit out whatever doesn't work. So if there's like a 20 or 30 second break where no one's asking questions and I'm just sort of like talking to them, like being like, here, like we could ask questions about this or about that, I can cut all that out. So yeah. It makes it sound like we've got this like real nice flow of, you know, I mean, generally there is a pretty nice flow, but I just have to like wait for the new questions to load because the feed sometimes doesn't load very fast. Generally, there's more questions than I can get to. But so it's been going really well. And before that, too, like when we're talking about audience engagement and stuff like that, just to get a little bit more insider baseball for the listeners, because, again, this is what we're talking about. I had this whole strategy for like the first year that didn't really pan out the way I wanted it to, where I was trying to get people to rate and write reviews on Apple Podcasts, you know? And so the whole thing was, if you leave a 5-star review rating and write a review, I will read the review on the show and review you back. So it was kind of like I'll read it and then I'll like review this review. It'd be like, this review I think is, you know, and like, I thought it was a fun little segment, and it like worked to the tune of getting me like 35 reviews, but I was like, well, that's not really what I was trying to do.
And that's a lot of work for 35.
Yeah, thanks to the 35 people who participated in that little thing. We're not really doing that anymore, but thank you to those people if they're listening still today for doing that.
It's but yeah, a big deal. Ratings, yeah, and reviews are a huge deal. And yeah, I think that you have to almost like browbeat your audience. We've had a great response, and we try, like, at the end of every episode, we do ask, and you wonder, like, okay, who's really getting here to, like, the very last, you know, minute of the show,
right.
But we try to, every time we get them, it's like, it's so exciting. I don't know if you get, like, a little tingle every time somebody leaves you a rating and review, but we screenshot them, we send them to each other, we post them on our highlights.
I love them.
We make sure that...
Yeah. I love
it. We let people know because, yeah, it's nice to get that feedback. It's nice to know that people are appreciating, you know, the time that you're putting into whatever it is you're creating for the week. And yeah.
Yeah, I love those reviews, and not just because it helps with analytics on that platform. Like, I just like hearing that feedback, you know?
Yeah.
How many reviews is a lot of reviews?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, bigger shows have like thousands, you know? So, but I, when you're a middling show, just trying to like carve out your groove and maybe get the attention of some sponsors to get a little bit of monetization, like I think you need at least like a couple hundred, you know.
Oh, we're straight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're doing great. If that's the case, Blue Apron. Blue Apron.
Right on.
Hello, friends.
See, this is, and this is going to go on my show. So let's get them. Hey, Blue Apron and Squarespace. Like, what's up? What's up?
Come on, your let's pal Austin needs your dollars. So, guys, if you're listening to this right now, go into your Apple Podcast app, scroll all the way down to the bottom, leave a 5-star rating and a review. Listen, it does
That's
not have to take
up.
That long.
5 stars only. Five.
That's what's up.
I know you're looking at your phone while you're sitting on the toilet. Take that minute. Stop looking at your ex. Leave Austin a review, please. He deserves it.
And then get up and wash your hands. But 5-star review.
Yes. Yes. I love that. So really quick, last thing I want to talk about is, and this is like maybe a little bit more boring, but like let's talk gear a little bit, because you've talked about like refining, figuring out different things. I see, Melissa, you've got the blanket set up back there. If you've listened to the intro of my show, I say from a blanket fort recording studio, and like it used to be that way. Literally the first few episodes I did was like I would like pitch up a blanket and I had people come over to my apartment and we would sit across from each other, 3 feet away from each other in a blanket tent and like be like sitting crisscross applesauce, like looking at each other and talking on the podcast.
Oh, not the crisscross applesauce. Okay. And okay, it was, Austin.
It was like, really fun. And it was like, but it was also a way to just deaden the noise in my apartment because I have these really high ceilings. I since bought this thing that now people always make fun of on the Zoom calls because it's this giant like marshmallow that goes around my microphone, but it just cuts out the room noise and my blanket for it is no longer really necessary. But like, what do you got going on over there? Like, and did you amend or change your setups as time went on?
Oh, my gosh. Did we?
It's been, I feel like it's been the third piece of this podcast because we really, I mean, we started off, we actually hired an audio engineer to help us in the beginning because the sound quality was so echoey and it was like no matter what we were doing, we couldn't figure it out. And sound quality is really important in a podcast. A friend of ours who is big in the podcast space said recently, like, if your audio is terrible, you're making a choice because there are so many resources out there to make it sound good. So we've had closet, like Melissa's in her closet. We've draped blankets. I, for the longest time before I got this guy here, I had Amazon boxes covered in mop heads to create my own sound booth. So it's been very like free, low cost, like bare minimum, because it's, you know, when you're starting off, unless you're on a network, you're spending your own money to buy your equipment.
Right.
And so it's trying to find the best way to do it and problem solve as you're going through and watching tons of YouTube videos. I can't tell you how many YouTubes I've watched to learn how to, you know, to do stuff. My daughter's room has the most fabric in my house. So if she's not here, I can sit in here and do it and know that it's going to sound okay. So.
Mm-hmm.
We're not working with
husband,
the
My husband is actually really upset with my setup, and he's insisting that I stop doing it this way. But this is where I'm most comfortable, and I'm not technologically, you know, I'm inept at AF. So, you know, my weighted blanket behind me and a weighted blanket in front of me and just sitting here on the floor in this setup that he gave me, he's really upset about it because I literally I have a studio in my house, a professional rigged studio in my house.
You got a real studio and you're choosing the closet.
And he's just like, please, please go down in the studio. And I'm like, it's cold down there and it's weird down there. It's dark and there's all those buttons. It's stressing me out. It's so uncomfortable. He's like, he literally bought me a Rodecaster 3000, whatever that thing is.
Uh-huh.
That very important, special, holy grail podcasting machine.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, Amanda can tell you, I got it for Hanukkah and was upset. And then I Googled it, and in podcast world, it's apparently very amazing. It was a bomb gift, apparently. So I had to then, you know, turn my frown upside down and be like, oh, thank you. It's so cool. But also, I'm not a person that will understand, push this button here and do this and do that. I can't do that. But you know, if and when the pandemic is over and, you know, you could podcast on the go, it's a great machine. But will I learn how to use it? No, the thing is down there being a really expensive paperweight. So I'm going to stay in my closet with my little laptop.
Your relationship with your husband sounds like my relationship with my audio engineer, who's also like my best friend and my business partner for years and years and years. We like been in many bands together and stuff, but he does all my audio and he gets so frustrated with me because he's constantly sending me things that would like upgrade my setup and like my rig, but they're always things that I would have to like learn. Like he's always like, it's not hard. Like I will walk you through it step by step. And I'm like, yeah, but isn't it fine what we're doing? That I just like I record and I just send it to you and you just do it. And he's like yes, but it can sound better. Like we can get it. He's really really making a push for me to get a new microphone because he knows I got that McDonald's money and he wants me to get a new microphone. And he's been trying to get me, but all the microphones that he wants me to get have to go through an audio interface. So like, I asked you earlier, Melissa, I was like, is it a USB mic? And you looked at me like I was speaking like Swahili or something. But I don't know if he speaks Swahili, but
Urdu actually.
I at least know that like my USB mic plugs straight into my computer. And that for me is just simpler because it doesn't have to go through a box that then goes into my computer and I have to like know what the settings on the box have to be so that I'm making sure that like I'm getting, I just am like, it's one less thing that I have to worry about and it works fine enough with my big styrofoam crazy thing around it. And it seems like we're doing just fine, but he's like, dude, like, come on, just spend a little bit more money and you can, it'll be so much cleaner and so much easier. And but he doesn't understand that I'm comfortable where I am and I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn new things.
I also can't be taught. I'm an old dog. I can't. Yeah. I can't be taught. I don't want to. He gets so upset and it you know, it just is what it is. Like I don't want to have a conversation with Amanda and I'm sitting there in like these big professional headphones and like he's got an Aeron chair down there. It's a whole big setup and it's scary. I don't want to do it. I just want to be in here. Also, Amanda and I are supposed to be, you know, having a conversation on the phone, you know, folding laundry while we're gabbing. I can't be in no studio. That makes it feel less authentic to the original concept of the show. Us being kind of raggedy. But with the sound.
No, I like the way it looks. This is how I imagine it when I listen to the show. Not because it sounds like this. I love that comment. If you have bad sound, you're making a choice. Like it really does feel like that in today's world. It's like if you're gonna go out and make the show, like at least get a microphone that's not you talking into your headphones mic. You know, like
right.
Like you don't need to have the world's worst sound. But I do like, this is how I imagine you two is much more the way that I look, just in your room, DIY podcasters who obviously care about their sound quality, but who are like being real, who aren't sitting in studios with like big sponsored posters behind them and stuff like that. I wanted to say this, so compliment time. I also wanted to say that the concept of your show really does come through. I've listened to 3 episodes of your show now, and it is, like you talked about, like, I didn't know that the concept was 2 people who didn't know each other getting to know each other. But there's this, without even knowing that, I can listen to 1 episode of your show and hear that you simultaneously sound like people who have been friends forever and you're also getting to know each other. And so that's really great that there's like a chemistry there that really works, but also like during the naming episode, you were like asking Amanda about her name. Like you were like, do you like that name, Amanda? Like, is that a name that you're comfortable with? Like, you know, and I was like, is this not a conversation that you've had before? And then it's like, oh, you're getting to know each other, but there's that element really works. So the concept is great. It's fresh. And that's awesome too. When you can find something in a podcast that's not just let's get together and talk, but there's actually like a story that's running through the episodes where like these 2 people are getting to know each other slowly but surely.
Well, thank you. Wow. I think the thing that's really funny about that concept too is, you know, while I did watch Melissa's season of The Real World and I did read her blog, there are people that listen to our show who, you know, like me, also discovered her, you know, from the show and read her blog, but they are like deep into it. And so there will be things that I don't know that maybe she blogged about, but I didn't catch that, you know, that post, or, you know, she said something in her social media that I didn't catch. And so they get really excited when they hear me ask something or say something, because they know exactly what she's going to say or how she's going to respond. We had an whole episode about, are you showering too much? Mm-hmm. And Melissa is very particular about her personal care and showering and cleanliness and soaps and washcloths. And so, you know, there's this extra element. It's like almost like we have our listeners with us, just anticipating, waiting for me to ask something stupid or something that they know the answer to, and because they know exactly how she's going to respond.
Oh, they love it. They are sitting there with popcorn like, oh, hell no. She done asked this girl, do she shower too much? Melissa is going to get upset. And Melissa gets upset.
See, so I think your listeners would love it if you did like a live segment. Like, they would be so excited to get in on that, the live energy of that, you know?
So every Monday, we actually go live on Instagram, you know?
Oh,
not, you know, when there's nothing in person, obviously, but we do go live on Monday nights at 7. And so that's an opportunity for our listeners to come in and they talk about how they felt during the episode. They're having entire conversations while we're talking. It's really, really fun. And then we've had two live Zoom events in the last few months. And so it's nice to, you know, get to interact with the community and understand like their feelings. And we have a private Facebook group, and they go in there and they, as soon as the episodes go out, they are going off and they are deep in their conversation about their own experiences or how they felt about the show. So that's been a really fun aspect of it too.
Awesome. Really
cool. You should come to a live.
I want to, please. I would love it. I'm like really into lives now. I've been talking to my audience about this, that like when I first started doing lives, they stressed me out and it made me really, really nervous. And you do them enough that like I look forward to them now. I really enjoy it. I enjoy the interaction and the just being able to hang out with people who are like making it possible for me to do this, you know? It feels nice to be able to give them time. It's like one of the only things I feel like I can really offer. So it's great to talk with both of you about this. It's really nice. I've just been noticing it's really nice to talk to podcasters who stay on their microphones. Every time each of you speak, I see, like, and it's like you only know that if you do it every week, and if you've heard what happens when people don't do it, and then you're like, okay. So it's like one of the banes of my existence, having new guests every, and I'm so thankful to all the people who come on my show, but I always try to explain to them when we start that, like, hey, you're gonna have to stay, at least when you're speaking, you're just gonna have to make sure that you're like, your face is in front of that thing, and that your mouth is pointed at the instrument. And not 5 minutes into the conversation, they're over here, and they're like talking to me like this, and I don't want to stop the flow of the conversation and be like, could you please move back over to your microphone? Because then it's like, I have to go through when they send me the audio and like turn that part up. And
oh, well, you should know this. I have been trained. My husband spent a lot of time early in our earlier episodes. He would listen to the episodes on the way to work, and then he would come home and give Amanda and I critiques. And I got to the point where I don't want to hear Justin Beck say none about none. So, but every week it was, Melissa, what don't you get? You have to sit in front of the mic. Like, Amanda's been in the room where he's come into the closet and yelled at me. He's like, why aren't you on the mic? You're not on the mic. Well, the problem is you're not on the mic. So like, I'm so scared of my husband's critique of me not being on the microphone that I stay right here. You've seen, I'll go like this when you're talking.
Yep, totally.
And then I come right back over here because I don't want to get in trouble.
That's what I do. My thing covers my face. So when I'm listening, I come over here. And then when I speak, I come back. Yeah. But
there, I will warn you, there is a part back in the beginning where I was reaching over to plug in my computer and I responded. So you're going to have to figure. In my head, I was like, oh, shit.
I shouldn't have done that. If there's little spots, that's fine. Like, even when I just did that, like, yeah. I'm okay if that sounds different. Like, it's totally fine. But it's been really great, like, talking to you and being like, oh, they've got fantastic mic technique. And, you know, people really don't, they just, I think it makes them feel more comfortable to be able to be looser and not right on top of it. And I get that 100%. It does feel a little bit, you have to get used to the feeling of, like, constantly turning your face toward the instrument every time you start to speak. And it doesn't feel, like, natural. So it's a lot to expect of people who have never done this before, which is most my guests. Like, I don't talk to podcasters every week. I talk to people who have never done something like this. So it's nice to talk to people who have done it.
Happy to oblige.
Well, thank you. I can't believe we're podcasters, Amanda. He just called us that. Okay.
We're legit.
Yeah. I mean, more so than I am. You're like more podcasters than I am. So.
No, we're trying to get like you, TikToker.
I know. Where's that McDonald's? You know what, Austin? If somebody actually sent me a Blue Apron banner, you believe that I would be having that in my background. Stamps.com.
My ship station. Yeah, my only quote unquote sponsor is Marmalade Music, who mixes and masters my show. And that's like, so I don't have any Marmalade Music banners. And if Chris sent me one, I wouldn't fly it behind me.
Shout out to Marmalade Music.
Shout out to Marmalade Music for sure. If there's any podcasters listening and they're like, well, who can I hire to audio engineer my show? Marmalade Music. Well, cool. This was great. This is really great getting to know both of you a little bit better. And I appreciated the shout out on your show when you talked about me. I was like, oh, that makes me feel great. I love that. It's been really nice listening to the show and getting to a feel for like your vibes. Like, you're such different people, and it creates such a nice dynamic. But also, like, it's good that you have like similar takes on things.
Well, thank you for not being racist, and for
that's one of the best parts of your personality. Got to be real with you. Love it.
And for doing it in a way that is truly entertaining. When she shared your video with me, you're not being bullied, I was straight crying. I was like, this is gold. And then this morning as I was getting ready to do this, I saw your no video. And I was like, it's really like to be able to respond in such a smart, succinct way that just shuts it down immediately. You're so talented. So keep doing what you're doing. We love it.
Oh, thanks. Love I really it. Appreciate that. Hey, Melissa, if I wanted to look you up on YouTube, what season of The Real World would I look at?
Oh, we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't do that. But it is on there. It is on there. And if you find it, just remember, I'm going to move away from my mic right quick to show you growth and evolution. See here?
Uh-huh.
So if you go find it, remember that you saw my new dental.
Oh,
which is
okay.
Real nice.
All
previous
right.
Dental, no money dental, not married okay. to a rock star dental, not that hot.
All
but
right.
If you find it, you will find, you know, it was a good season. I had a season that was memorable. It had a gay guy on there who was grappling with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It uh-huh. had a Mormon girl on there. It had me being like, let's all not be racist. So, you know, it's a perfect season for today's climate of everybody getting on the page, if you think about it like that. But
right
I wouldn't suggest you go look for it.
I mean, I can't promise you that I won't.
You already did. It's fine. You did it. It's fine. We're all still friends here. It's okay. Just don't ever talk to me about it. It's fine.
Well, that's cool. I'm a former Mormon person, so I'm always interested. I'm not as interested in ex-Mormon stuff as some ex-Mormons that I know. There's a lot of ex-Mormons out there who, like, that's all they want to talk about. And there's a lot of people in my audience who, like, want to talk about the fact that I was raised Mormon. And I'm always just like, man, I haven't been Mormon for 15 years. Like, I don't think about it very often.
Okay, so then you and I have that in common. It's like, I haven't been on Real World for 22 years.
Right.
But I guess if you want to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. Well, cool. I would much rather talk about Imperfect Strangers and talk about what you're doing now. And I'm glad that that's what we did talk about. So anything else either one of you want to say? Anything else other
Friday
you
night
say?
I mean, Friday's at midnight episode
comes out at midnight.
Join us again on Mondays 7 p.m. on our Instagram, which is instagram.com/imperfectstrangers_podcast. You can go on there and join us live to talk about the episode you just heard, or not at all. They just be in the chat talking to them amongst themselves sometimes. Don't even be talking to us, but but it's a great, fun little community. We would love to have you in it, Austin. You would be a wonderful addition.
When we have you on our show, I was just thinking you should come on and do a live when your episode airs. That would be great.
I would love that. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I would love that. And that's what I love that Instagram allows you to do that. Allows you to link up lives. It really bothers me that TikTok doesn't allow you to do that. But yeah, let's do that for sure. And
cool.
Thanks. Have a good rest of your days. And
thank you.
Yeah, we'll chat later.
Okay, all right. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye. They're fantastic, are they not? They're fantastic. I love them. Hilarious, funny, insightful, smart. You should listen to their show. Their show is really good. It's very entertaining. They make a very good, like, odd couple pairing, and it's good. It's good. It's, you know, it works. It has all the right ingredients for a podcast. Likeable people, likeable hosts. You know, they've got good chemistry. They know how to just kind of go. They don't really have to do too much prep. They can just sort of go. They got it. And they've been doing it for a while now, so I think they really got their stride, you know? It takes a while. You gotta work into it. You can't just show up and think, I'm just gonna do a podcast and instantly be as good at talking into a microphone smoothly as I obviously am. But yeah, okay, we're here, we're on TikTok, we're live right now, every week. If you don't know by now, if you're listening to this show on a weekly basis and you don't know that we go live on TikTok every week at 2 p.m. Pacific time, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know how else to get the word out, but here we are. We're on TikTok right now. It's Sunday, it's 2:15, Sweet Mama Jay's here, people are here, we got people here from Massachusetts and Argentina and all over the place, Portland, represented, and I want to hear from you guys on the TikTok, TALK portion of the show right now. What's your favorite podcast that you're listening to right now? What do you like about podcasts? Have you ever wanted to start a podcast? Do you have a podcast? What is something that you hate on podcasts? What are podcast pet peeves of yours? Here's a question from Sarah Smart. Sarah Smart, we love you so much here every week and always so great to see you. Sarah Smart asks, did you ever have a hard time talking with a guest? Yeah, all the time. Yeah, all the time. Totally. I used to, when I would do interviews in person, so I do everything on Zoom now because it's the pandemic times, which is good and bad. It means that I can, like, have guests on from all over the country and I don't need to be in the same place as them for them to come guest on the show. I just do Zoom audio for everyone. And if there are people who do their own podcasts, they have their own microphones and, like, recording equipment on their end. So it really sounds fine. Like this week's episode, you'll hear, it sounds like we're in the same space. We're not. We're doing it over Zoom. But when I used to have people come over to my apartment and record with me, it was hard to make sure people, like, had the right microphone etiquette. not etiquette, that's not even the right way to say it. Like, people need to understand what distance they need to be at all times from the microphone. Even right now on the live, like, you're seeing, like, my face is a little obscured because I have to have my face pointed in a certain direction and I can't let it get too far away from the microphone. I need to make sure that I'm staying close enough that I'm getting picked up. I turn up my gain on the microphone so I can have a little bit of distance and you can see my face on the TikTok live feed. But yeah, so there are things like that that would come up with guests early on where I would try to explain to people before we started recording, hey, you need to stay, make sure you're staying like 6 inches or so from the mic. I also had this really sensitive microphone that I would let my guests use that like picked up noises from the ground and stuff. So I had to sort of like put padding down around where they sat because people would like tap their hands on the table that the microphone was on and it would like pick up. And, you know, so there were a lot of technical issues when I was starting out that I needed to figure out. But then, yeah, sometimes I start off talking with someone and I can tell that they're just like really uncomfortable or they don't understand that this only works if they're prepared to be talkative. It's Quell says, my favorite podcast right now is Cried Power with Hosey. How do you say his name? I've never known. I pronounce it sort of like half jokingly as Hosier. You know who I'm talking about, the singer. My love is heaven to hell. She's the giggle at a funeral. Heaven better. Hosier. Hosier sounds ridiculous. To say it Hosier sounds ridiculous. And also saying Hosier sounds ridiculous. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to say that name. But I didn't realize that he had a podcast. Cried Power. I'll have to check that out. Sweet Mama J asks, how do you schedule guests or decide who you'd like to invite? Good question. I usually just direct message people. I just like go to people and just say, hey, would you like to be on my podcast? Surprisingly, I get very, very, very few no's. In fact, I don't really get no's. What I get is ghosted if someone's not going to want to do it. The only person so far that said absolutely yes, let's do it, and then continues to dog me when I try to lock him down for a time slot is Good Trouble. Y'all know Good Trouble on TikTok? That guy? I've asked him multiple times, and he's always like, yeah, no, let's do the podcast. And then when I go, when are you free, he's always ducking me. He's too busy owning the conservatives to come and talk to me about it for an hour on the podcast. but yeah, I usually just reach out to people and ask them if they'd like to talk. I usually try to find people that have a focus in a specific area that I already want to talk about or that I feel like would be relevant to something that's going on in the world. I knew I wanted to talk last week, for instance, about dismantling white supremacy and talk about like the fact that we're having conversations about race again, because we're always having those conversations in America because we're always dealing with that. And so I quickly thought, okay, I need to put this together in a hurry. That I put that together faster than I normally put it together. So I was like, who can I reach out to? And, I know Parker does that work. And I also know Parker has like a pretty good following on social media. Usually collaborating with people for my podcast who have a good social media following behooves me because it's good for cross-pollination and listening and downloads. If she's going to share it to her followers and I'm going to share it to mine and we're going to sort of cross-pollinate like that, we have a better chance of getting more downloads. And also she just did a fantastic job. She just speaks very eloquently about the topic. So I usually try to find someone who speaks well about the topic. I think Parker's here right now. Cool enough. Hi, Parker. But I try to find someone who speaks eloquently about the topic that I want to talk about, who's involved in the work of the topic I want to talk about, and then I just message them, and then we just figure out a time that we're both available. I used to have a specific day of the week that I recorded on, and now I just sort of like record whenever people are available, but I do the intro and outro every Sunday, and I edit on Monday, and then send it off to Chris for mixing and mastering. Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music, who mixes and masters the show. Camille Marie Earnshaw, I hope I'm saying that right. Camille Marie Earnshaw says, fave podcasts, true crime, ex-Mormon, ex-evangelical, LGBTQ. Cool. Yeah, I like all those things. I don't listen to a lot of ex-Mormon or ex-Christian podcasts, actually. I used to listen to this podcast called Thank God I'm Atheist that I really liked. My friend Dan Beecher is a co-host of that show, and he's actually been on my show before. He's talked about, he came on and talked about depression and anxiety. I used to listen to that show every single week, religiously, if I may say, which is, you know, funny, because there was like an anti-religion podcast. But they would sort of like round up news from bad things that big religions were doing that week. And I liked that show. I don't really go in for like the let's pull apart all the ways that religion is terrible podcasts anymore. I don't know why. I think maybe I just sort of like had my fill of that conversation a little bit. It's Quell says, Hozier is how you say it. Hozier. I don't like that either. Hozier, Hozier, Hozier. I hate all of it. I don't like any of those. Is that his first name or his last name? Is his name like Alex Hozier or something? I like his music. I like his music a lot. Ooh, I like that. Omaha Karen says, want to talk to a Karen about life as a Karen for the last year? That actually would be a really, really funny topic. I would actually really enjoy to talk about, like to have an episode called Karens. That would be really, if you actually want to talk about like what it means to be a Karen and like what people mean when they call someone Karen and then what it's like for you to be named Karen, I actually think that would be an interesting discussion for the podcast. Chris, who mixes and masters this show, worked on a project with a woman named Karen, and she reached out to him and like sent him this text where she was like, honestly, I feel like the discrimination against people named Karen is like some of the worst discrimination happening in America right now. And he sent me that text and I was like, that's the most Karen thing I've ever seen in my life. And she like made a t-shirt that said Karen's Lives Matter. And I was like, that's the most Karen thing. That's the most Karen thing. Yes, yeah, Sir Torchington says, LMAO, left and right both absolutely do get triggered bad. Yeah, that's the thing is like, yeah, that's fine. It's actually okay that you see something like an opinion being shared that you find abhorrent and it triggers you and you're like upset about it. That's fine. That's actually like okay. What's ridiculous is that the people on the right pretend like that doesn't happen. They're like, well, you guys really can't handle disagreements. It's like, neither can you. You don't like that we disagree either. You're not happy about the fact that we disagree about this. You think that like my opinion is going to destroy America. You're not like totally cool with this disagreement. You think that the disagreement is just as serious as I do, but you're just pretending like you don't. It's totally okay to be upset at someone's opinion, especially if you find that opinion like really harmful or abhorrent. It's normal. So I think what's ridiculous is acting like you don't. Well, all right. Thanks for all the comments. Thanks for hanging out. Stay on. We'll keep talking. Ooh, London Laz is here. London Laz is here. What up, London? Good to see you, man. Stay on. We'll hang out. And thanks for all the comments. Thanks for all the fun, good times. People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. You can find more of my music by going to austin-archer.com or by going to austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com or looking up Austin Archer wherever you stream music. The show is mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. Chris also mixes and masters all of my music. You should go to themarmalademusic.com if you want him to mix and master your project. Let him know that I sent you, and he'll give you 20% off your first project. How about that? The TikTok portion of our show is moderated by Sweet Mama J. Everybody over at TikTok, give Sweet Mama J a hand. We love her so much. Thank you so much for all you do. That's it. Okay. Go check out the Imperfect Strangers podcast and give them a listen after you listen to this one, of course. And okay, that's all. Love you so much. Bye-bye.